The Nazi Roots of the Brussels EU. Chapter 7. Who's Who in the Brussels EU? In this chapter, we document short biographical notes of selected persons mentioned in this book. The list is an arbitrary selection and the names are presented in alphabetical order. The selection of the names presented was not made to imply any common affiliation to a specific organisation or party. The common denominator of these people is that they have served either in the past or at present as economic and political stakeholders of the chemical, oil and drug cartel. ABS. Hermann Josef, 1901-1994. Hermann Josef ABS was one of the key figures of the German economy from the late 1930s through to the 1970s. From 1940 onwards, ABS was a member of the supervisory board of IG Farben, with a main focus on financial transactions. In his main job as a member of the board of directors of Germany's biggest bank, Deutsche Bank, his area of expertise was to ensure it the top spot in the occupied European countries. ABS was also a member of the supervisory board of many other companies that dealt with the German occupation of Eastern Europe. 80% of all financial transactions made during the establishment of the Auschwitz factory complex built by IG Farben were handled by the Deutsche Bank and went through the hands of ABS. ABS was the leader of the German delegation at the 1953 Agreement on German External Debts that ended with relatively low payments for German post-war and World War II debts, including all future demands made from victims' associations. ABS was directly involved in the expropriation of Jewish companies in Germany and in the occupied countries. After the war, ABS was briefly jailed, but quickly got back into business by making contacts with the British and American occupying forces. Before resuming his old job at the Deutsche Bank, ABS was head of the Kreidanstalt für Wiedergutmachung, German Reconstruction Loan Corporation, and financial advisor for Konrad Adenauer. He was thus actively involved in re-strengthening the German economy. In the 1960s, ABS was a member of the supervisory boards of 30 companies, serving as a chairman on the board of 20 companies, an unmatched amount of power. Adenauer, Konrad, 1876-1967. Konrad Adenauer, Germany's first post-war chancellor, used his powers to bring many fellow Nazi henchmen back into power. After losing his position as mayor in Cologne in 1933, Adenauer contacted high-ranking Nazi politicians in August of 1934 and cited his services to the Nazi movement. He subsequently received payments from the Nazi government. In negotiations that took place with the occupational forces in 1949, Adenauer made efforts to prevent laboratories belonging to the drug company Bayer from being dismantled. During his 14-year-long tenure, Adenauer strategically put Nazi criminals back into power in government positions. Others were helped to obtain release from jail and to regain their senior corporate positions. One of those Nazi criminals was Hans Gloch, whom Adenauer employed as his national security advisor. Another example was Walter Hallstein, whom Adenauer helped to establish as the key architect of the structure of the Brussels EU and the first president of its so-called European Commission. In 1956, Adenauer founded the German Secret Service, the BND. The head of the BND and a large number of its employees were recruited from former Nazi SS and Gestapo staff. Ambrose Otto, 1901-1990. Otto Ambrose was a member of the IG Farben Executive Committee between 1938 and 1945. Ambrose oversaw the choice of location, planning, building and running of the IG Auschwitz factory concentration camp as an operations manager. Between 1940 and 1945, Ambrose was advisor to the head of the Vier-Jahres-Plan, the four-year plan office, Karl Krauch, and head of its department for research and development. Ambrose was appointed as military industry leader with responsibility for chemical warfare agents. He personally advocated the use of the nerve agent sarin and tabun to Adolf Hitler. Ambrose developed the chemical weapons sarin in 1939 and Soman in 1944 for IG Farben. At the Nuremberg Tribunal against IG Farben, Ambrose was held accountable for the crimes he committed during World War II. He was found guilty of enslavement and sentenced to 8 years in prison. In 1952, he was released from prison without having served his full sentence. He subsequently became employed as an advisor to Konrad Adenauer and various drug companies. Augustin Rudolph, 1923-2002. Rudolf Augustin, publisher of Der Spiegel news magazine, was one of the most important journalists in post-war Germany. Augustin used his influence to distract the public's attention away from the Nazis' responsibility for the fire that burned down the German parliament, the Reichstag, in 1933. The myth of the fire being started by Marinus van der Lubbe, who was alleged to have been a sole culprit. It was laid out in a series of articles in Der Spiegel. Augustin used the experience of former SS and Gestapo officials to set up a system of investigative journalism which aimed at influencing the politics of post-war Germany. Augustin's imprisonment in 1962, following the so-called Spiegel affair, was used as propaganda to enable him to be perceived by the public as left-wing. Not surprisingly, therefore, Der Spiegel subsequently became seen as a defender of press freedom. Augustin also selectively placed high-ranking Nazi officials in senior positions on his editorial staff. Wilfried van Oven, personal press officer for the Nazi Minister of Propaganda Josef Goebbels, became correspondent for South America, personally chosen by Augustin, who signed his press card. Paul Carroll, former press officer for the World War II Minister for Foreign Affairs, Johann von Ribbentrop, wrote regularly for Augustin's magazine. Jörg Wolf, a high-ranking official in the Reich's main security office, was hired for Der Spiegel in the early 1950s, eventually becoming deputy editor-in-chief in the 1960s. Horst Mank, another high-ranking official in the Reich main security office, was head of the foreign department of Der Spiegel. Mank later also wrote for Axel Springer. Karl Friedrich Gross, a high-ranking official in Ribbentrop's ministry, became head of Der Spiegel's Berlin bureau. Erich Fischer, head of a department in Goebbels' ministry, became publishing manager in Der Spiegel's Dusseldorf bureau. Rudolf Diels, first head of the Gestapo, was hired to write a series of articles about his own secret police, which whitewashed the roles of former colleagues that were active in post-war Germany. In 1933, Diels, then in charge of the Gestapo, was the main interrogator of Marinus van der Lubbe following the Reichstag fire. Bergmann, Martin, born 1934. Martin Bergmann, a German politician, was a member of the European Commission between 1989 and 1999. During his first term in the European Commission between 1989 and 1995, Bergmann served as Commissioner for the Internal Market and Industrial Affairs. As a commissioner, Bergmann got into trouble in the 1990s when he took hefty payments for speaking engagements, despite this being outlawed for commissioners. Bergmann was also accused of abusing his authority after getting his commission chauffeur to drive his commission limousine to the south of France to meet him at his yacht. Bergmann was EU Commissioner for Industrial Affairs, Information and Telecommunications Technologies during the Jacques Santer Commission. In 1999, he was involved in a fraud scandal and was forced to resign along with the entire Santer Commission. After the resignation of the Santa Commission, Bergmann was appointed to the board of directors of the Spanish telecommunication company Telefonica just weeks later. The EU filed a lawsuit in 1999 because of possible conflicts of interest. The lawsuit was later dropped after Bergmann agreed not to start working for Telefonica before 2001. Bolkestein Fritz, born 1933. Fritz Bolkestein was European Commissioner for Internal Market and Services between 1999 and 2004. In 1996, Bolstein, who at the time was leader of the government VVD party in the Netherlands, tried to persuade the Dutch health minister, Els Borst, to have a cholesterol-lowering drug included in the reimbursement scheme operated by the Dutch Health Service. The drug, Cozaar, was marketed by Merck, Sharp and Dohme, for whom Bolstein was then a director. According to the news programme Network, Bolkestein was also reported to have urged Borst to reduce the reimbursement limit for Zocor, another Merck, Sharp and Dohme drug. During his time as European Commissioner for Internal Market Services, Bolkestein drafted the Directive on Services in the Internal Market, the so-called Bolkestein Directive, and it was aimed at creating a single market for services, essentially in the spirit of the plans designed by Nazi lawyer Walter Hallstein. In 2001, Bolkestein refused to take action after European MPs had asked the Commission to investigate accusations of undeclared accounts maintained by Clearstream, a division of the financial services provider Deutsche Börse. 5 years later, in 2006, EU whistleblower Paul van Boutenayen, who had previously exposed the Santa Commission scandal in 1996, alleged that Bolkestein was a member of the Consultative Council for the Russian Bank Menatep. Bank Menatep had previously been accused by Harlem Deezer, a French MEP, of maintaining an unpublished secret account at Clearstream, thus potentially raising questions regarding Bolkestein's refusal to take action against Clearstream. Bolkestein worked for the petrochemical company Royal Dutch Shell from 1960 to 1975. Bosch, Karl, 1874 to 1940. Karl Bosch was chairman of the supervisory board of IG Farben from 1931 until his death. In 1910, together with Fritz Haber, Bosch developed a process to produce ammonia in large quantities for use in the production of explosives. This opened up a highly profitable ammonia monopoly for Bosch's company BASF, and later for IG Farben. In 1918, Bosch was economic consultant for the German government in the peace negotiations that followed World War I. Contrary to the initial intentions of the victorious powers to dismantle all chemical production facilities, Bosch reached a deal to save the factories. In exchange, the Allied forces obtained secret knowledge of the dyestuffs industry and the Haber-Bosch process for the production of ammonia. After the formation of IG Farben in 1925, Bosch became chairman of its board of directors. In 1931, after the death of Karl Duisberg, Bosch became chairman of Farben's supervisory board. He held this top position until his death in 1940. In 1937, Bosch was appointed as chairman of the Kaiser Wilhelm Society, the umbrella organisation for the Kaiser Wilhelm Institutes and one of the spearheads of the unethical scientific research carried out during the Nazi era. The society was funded with public and private money. Private financiers included IG Farben and the Rockefeller Foundation. Deitz, Werner, 1884 to 1945. Werner Deitz was one of the leading advocates of the Nazi Greater Sphere theory of a Europe under German control. Werner Deitz studied technical chemistry and worked for 10 years as a general director for Schoen & Co. The factory later became part of IG Farben. In 1916, Deitz was the first to coin the term European Economic Community. 40 years later, this term became used by his successors to describe the forerunner of the European Union. At around that time, Deitz started to publish articles and books on economic and social issues, with the main focus being a greater European economic market under the leadership of Nazi Germany. In 1931, Deitz became a member of the Reich management of Hitler's Nazi Party, responsible for economic issues. In 1933, Deitz was a member of the Reichstag for the Nazi Party. In 1933, Deitz became head of the Bureau for Special Issues and, later, of that for Foreign Trade of the Nazi Party. The Foreign Trade Bureau was one of the main Nazi ideological think tanks and was headed by Arnold Rosenberg, one of Hitler's spin doctors on foreign issues. In 1939, Deitz founded the Society for European Economic Planning and Macroeconomics, which was funded by the Nazi Party's Foreign Trade Bureau. A direct branch of the Society for European Economic Planning and Macroeconomics was the Central Research Institute for National Economic Order and Greater Sphere Economy, which was headed by Arno Salter. De Vinen, Etienne, 1932. Etienne de Vinen was a former European commissioner. He is chairman of the Bilderberg Group and a member of the board of directors of the pharmaceutical company Gilead. De Vinen was EU commissioner for industrial markets, customs union and industrial affairs during the Jenkins Commission from 1977 to 1981, and from 1981 to 1985 was EU commissioner for industrial affairs and energy during the Thorne Commission. De Vinen was a member of the Trilateral Commission. From 1989 to 2001, De Vinen was chairman of the Belgian company Sûreté Générale de Belgique. Since 1990, De Vinen has been a member of the board of directors of the pharmaceutical company Gilead Sciences, the same company that former US Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld worked for as a member of the board of directors and chairman of the board. In 2005, De Vinen became chairman of the secretive Bilderberg Group, the clandestine meetings of whom are held behind closed doors, away from the public eye, and attended on an invitation-only basis by the rich and powerful ultra-elite from the worlds of aristocracy, politics, business, banking, and journalism. Frattini Franco, 1957. Franco Frattini is the Italian foreign minister and former European commissioner. Appointed to the Commission in 2004, Frattini's selection was immediately mired in controversy amidst accusations that he was a Freemason. In 2008, Frattini announced plans to fingerprint and screen all visitors who cross the EU's borders. The following year, it became mandatory for all new EU passports to include a digital fingerprint and photograph. From 2011, all non-EU citizens who apply for an EU visa will have to give their biometric details. Associates of Frattini, such as the Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, have been accused of having links to Freemasonry and the Mafia. Gloch, Hans, 1898 to 1973. Hans Gloch worked on the Nazis' Holocaust laws and was the grey eminence behind Konrad Adenauer, Germany's first post-war chancellor. Gloch studied law and political sciences before joining the Prussian and later the German civil service. In 1929, Gloch became administrative councillor to the Prussian Ministry of the Interior. After the Reichstag fire, Gloch became involved in writing the Enabling Act and the Prussian Dissolution Act. He was subsequently transferred to the German Ministry of the Interior. Gloch gained a reputation as an expert in racial issues. He worked on the second regulation to enforce the law on changing the surnames and first names. The laws and regulations that Gloch worked on in the Ministry of the Interior played a substantial role in paving the way for the Nuremberg racial laws. In 1936, Gloch co-wrote the commentary to the Nuremberg racial laws. During World War II, Gloch played an essential role in transferring the Nazi Holocaust laws to the annexed European territories. In post-war Germany, Gloch became the grey eminence behind the West German Chancellor Konrad Adenauer. In this role, he had immense power in the shaping of the new Germany and the working out of the plans for the Brussels EU. Göring, Hermann, 1893 to 1946. Hermann Göring was one of the leading Nazi politicians and head of the IG Farben-led four-year plan. Göring was the son of the first Reich Commissioner of German South West Africa, today Namibia. In World War I, after initially fighting for the German ground forces, he joined the German Air Force. In 1917, he became leader of an Air Force squadron, and in 1918 was appointed commander of a fighter squadron. By the end of World War I, Göring held the rank of captain. In 1922, while studying history and economics in Munich, Goering met Adolf Hitler in Munich. He was named the first leader of the Sturmteilung, the SA. In 1928, he became a member of the German Parliament for the Nazi Party and, in his second term in the Parliament, became its president. From this position, Goering played a crucial role in the destroying of German democracy and the establishing of the dictatorial Nazi regime. In 1933, Goering became Reich Minister for Aviation and was given responsibility for the reconstruction of the German Air Force. For his efforts in this respect, Hitler initially promoted him to the highest existing military rank, General Field Marshal, before eventually in 1940 creating a new, even higher rank of Reichsmarschall, Marshal of the Empire, and appointed Goering to it by decree. In 1936, Goering was named Commissioner Plenipotentiary of the Four-Year Plan, with responsibility to prepare the German military for war within 4 years. Karl Kroch, who had lobbied for such a position, was later given a key role in the plan. Subsequently, on the occasion of a birthday celebration, Goering thanked Hermann Schmitz, chairman of the board of directors of IG Farben, for giving him Crouch. In this role, as head of the four-year plan, Goering was responsible for the economic exploitation of the occupied areas. The fact that millions of people died of starvation was deemed necessary by Goering. In 1940, although Goering's four-year plan was extended, his influence in the Nazi regime was waning. Hitler grew dissatisfied with Goering, who'd become addicted to morphine. In 1942, the duties of the four-year plan were mostly taken over by Albert Speer's Ministry for Armaments. After the war ended, Goering was a defendant at the Nuremberg trial of the major war criminals. In 1946, he was found guilty for participation in a common plan or conspiracy for the accomplishment of a crime against peace, planning, initiating and waging wars of aggression, war crimes and crimes against humanity. He was sentenced to death by hanging, but committed suicide shortly before the execution. Heath, Edward, 1916-2005. Edward Heath was British Prime Minister between 1970 and 1974. Britain joined the Brussels EU in January of 1973 under his premiership. Heath had long harboured a desire to bind his country into a European federation. In his inaugural parliamentary speech given on the 26th of June 1950, upon entering the British House of Commons, he openly called on the government to join the Schuman Plan. Presented by the French Foreign Minister Robert Schuman only a month prior to Heath becoming a member of the British Parliament, the Schuman Plan ultimately led directly to the creation of the Brussels EU. Heath was well connected with the elite of the cartel, attending a meeting of the clandestine Bilderberg Group in 1976 and addressing a meeting of the Rockefeller-led Trilateral Commission in 1980. He was also a friend of the Glaxo Drug Company chairman and chief executive, Sir Austin Bide. Another close friend of Heath was Eric Rolle, later to become Baron Rolle of Ipsden and a member of the British House of Lords. Rolle was also a frequent Bilderberg meeting attendee and a member of the group's powerful steering committee. After French President Charles de Gaulle had vetoed Britain's entry into the Brussels EU during the 1960s, Heath invited the ex-Nazi lawyer Walter Hallstein, by then President of the European Commission, to Chequers, his prime ministerial country residence. This visit was one of several that Hallstein made to Chequers during Heath's tenure as Prime Minister. Behind the scenes, during the decade leading up to Britain joining the EU in 1973, Hallstein and Heath met on numerous occasions and worked closely together. In his foreword to the German edition of Andrew Roth's 1973 book, Edward Heath, Ein Mann für Europa, Hallstein summed up Heath's role in delivering Britain into the arms of the Brussels EU by stating outright that the success of this battle was to a decisive extent his victory. Eigner, Max, 1899-1966. Max Eigner was a member of the board of directors of IG Farben and, to all intents and purposes, the main connection between the Nazi government and IG Farben. Eigner was born into the chemistry business. His father worked for BASF. After visiting the Prussian Office Candidate School in Berlin, Eigner studied chemistry, law, metallurgy and political economics. In 1924, Eigner was head of procurement and an authorised signatory for Casella, the first company to produce chemotherapy drugs. After Casella merged into IG Farben, Eigner became head of the Central Financial Department in Berlin. In the following years, Eigner established a system of manipulating the Nazi government that became known as System Eigner in the Berlin offices of IG Farben, the Berlin NW7 Department for Political Economics, led by Eigner, was set up to deal with contacts to governmental representatives. The economics department of the Eigner-led Berlin offices of IG Farben was used to spy for the Nazi government in foreign countries. Its reports were widely used in government offices. Eigner was an integral part of the so-called F-Circle of industry leaders. The F-Circle met in Eigner's bureau and advised Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, on issues affecting the foreign propaganda of German industries. Max Eigner was appointed as military industry leader in 1938. Part of Eigner's responsibility in the Berlin offices of IG Farben was to develop strategies for the establishment of the European Greater Sphere economy. In this respect, he actively represented IG Farben in the Central European Business Forum, an interest group of German industry, banks and trade associations set up to conquer the Central European market, as vice chairman. Prior to the German army's invasion of Poland, Eigner presented the Nazi government with a wish list of factories to be appropriated by IG Farben. This procedure was subsequently repeated before the Nazi occupation of each new country. Eigner was arrested in 1945 by the US military and sentenced to 3 years in jail for war crimes, crimes against humanity through the plundering and spoliation of occupied territories and the seizure of plants. Kohl, Helmut, 1930. Helmut Kohl is a former German chancellor and full-time lobbyist of the pharmaceutical industry. After World War II, the chemical and pharmaceutical industries systematically groomed politicians for the highest offices of government. One of those was Helmut Kohl. From 1959 to 1969, Kohl was a full-time lobbyist for the pharmaceutical industry at the Verbund der Chemischen Industrie, Association of the Chemical Industry. In 1969, Kohl became the minister-president for the German state of Rhineland, a state strongly influenced by the pharmaceutical industry. In 1982, Kohl seized the top job in the German federal government, Chancellor. Through a so-called constructive vote of no confidence, the pharmaceutical cartel had given Kohl a leg up from being an ordinary BASF member of staff to someone who occupied the central corridors of power. Kohl showed a special interest in European unification. He was one of the main architects of the Treaty of Maastricht and the Euro. The decision to make Frankfurt the head office of the European Central Bank was mainly due to his influence. For 16 years, Helmut Kohl promoted the pharmaceutical cartel's global political interest from the Chancellor's office of the Federal Republic of Germany. In 1995, while Kohl was Chancellor, it emerged that an arms dealer had given a series of undeclared contributions to Kohl's Christian Democratic Party, the CDU. The scandal grew larger in November 1999 when public prosecutions in the German city of Augsburg issued an arrest warrant for a former treasurer of the CDU, who was charged with tax evasion for failing to declare a donation from an arms industry lobbyist. Investigators also found that the money was not a one-off payment and that the CDU had long been using a system of secret accounts to receive donations. Nevertheless, Kohl has repeatedly refused to name the donors, and it still remains unclear how many millions his CDU party actually received in this way. Krauch, Karl, 1887 to 1968. Karl Krauch was chairman of the supervisory board of IG Farben. Karl Krauch studied chemistry and started to work for BASF in 1912. He became manager of BASF's ammonia factory in Mersenberg in 1922. In 1929, Krauch became head of the new IG Farben branch of Hochdruckchemie, high pressure chemistry, and in 1934 became member of the board of directors of IG Farben. In addition to his job as head of Farben's high-pressure chemistry branch, Krauch also became head of the Vermittlungsstahl Wehrmacht, the link between IG Farben and the German military. In 1936, Krauch became head of the Department for Research and Development at the Four-Year Plan Office. The Four-Year Plan was a government department created to get Germany ready for war within 4 years. Prior to the creation of the department, Krauch had actively lobbied for a department for war mobilizations. In 1938, Krauch became a general agent for special issues concerning chemical products at the Four-Year Plan Office. His special focus was the widespread use of IG Farben's poison gas in the upcoming war. In 1939, Krauch was promoted to president of the Department for Economic Expansion that was part of the Four-Year Plan. In 1940, Krauch succeeded Karl Bosch as chairman of the supervisory board of IG Farben. In addition to his new job at Farben, however, Krauch remained active at the Four-Year Plan Office. In 1948, Krauch was sentenced at Nuremberg to 6 years in jail for war crimes and crimes against humanity through participation in the enslavement and deportation of slave labour. He was released in 1950. And became a member of the supervisory board of Chemisch Verschulz AG, one of the companies formed after the breakup of IG Farben. Merkel, Angela, 1954. Angela Merkel became German Chancellor in 2005 and has close connections to the chemical lobby. Merkel studied physics at the University of Leipzig in eastern Germany from 1973 to 1978. Later, she was awarded a doctorate for the thesis on quantum chemistry. Between 1978 and 1990, Merkel worked and studied at the Central Institute for Physical Chemistry at the Academies of Sciences in East Berlin. After the reunification of Germany, Merkel was elected as Member of Parliament of the German Bundestag in 1990. In 1991, Merkel became Minister for Women and Youth in Helmut Kohl's cabinet. From 1994 to 1998, Merkel served as Minister for Environment and Nuclear Safety. She had a close relationship with Kohl and became known as Kohl's Mädchen, or Kohl's Girl. In 2000, Merkel succeeded Kohl as the party chair of the CDU party. In 2005, Merkel became Chancellor in Germany. In a speech shortly before being elected, she said, "The people of Germany have no right to democracy and a free market economy in the future." It was obvious that Merkel had been briefed by representatives of the cartel. One of her close advisers is the chief executive of BASF, Jürgen Hambrecht. During World War II, BASF was one of the members of the IG Farben cartel. Oettinger, Gunther, 1953. Gunther Oettinger became European Commissioner for Energy in 2010. In 1972, Oettinger began to study law and economics at the University of Tübingen. From 1984, he worked as a lawyer in Dreisingen. His political career started in 1983, when he took over as the chair of the Jungen Union, the youth organisation of the reigning Conservative Party in his home state of Baden-Württemberg. During his time in the chair of the Jung Union, Oettinger was co-founder of the Andenpakt. The Andenpakt was an informal group of politicians that included the minister presidents Roland Koch of the Hesse region and Christian Wolff, Lower Saxony region, former ministers Matthias Wissmann and Franz Josef Jung, the MEP Elmar Brok, and the former president of the European Parliament, Hans-Gerd Pottering. In 2005, Oettinger became Minister-President of Baden-Württemberg. While in office, Oettinger gave a eulogy in which he praised one of his predecessors, the Nazi lawyer Hans Filbinger. Instead of describing Filbinger as the Nazi criminal that he was, Oettinger attempted to portray him as an opponent of the Nazi regime. Despite Oettinger's apparent attempt to revise the history of Filbinger's Nazi past, Angela Merkel went on to nominate him as Germany's European Commissioner, leading to his becoming European Commissioner for Energy in 2010. Perhaps not surprisingly, however, Oettinger's lack of experience in European politics and global energy issues has led to his appointment being much criticised. Oepfels, Carl Friedrich, 1895-1970. Carl Friedrich Oepfels was a German lawyer. Oepfels studied economics and law before starting work for the German Foreign Ministry in 1923. Between 1925 and 1931, Oepfels worked for the German embassy in London. After the Nazis seized power, Oepfels worked as a judge on patent law and as a district court director in Frankfurt, Germany. In 1942, he received a teaching assignment from the University of Frankfurt. After the war, Oepfels became a legal advisor to the German government on European integration. Between 1955 and 1958, he was the German ambassador in Belgium. Ortelli, François Xavier, 1925-2007. François Xavier Ortelli was president of the European Commission from 1973 to 1977 and an EU commissioner from 1977 to 1984. Ortelli became French Minister of Economy and Finance in 1968. From 1969 to 1972, he was Minister of Industrial and Scientific Development. Ortelli became President of the EU Commission in 1973, serving until 1977. In the following commission under Roy Jenkins, he was EU Commissioner for Economic and Financial Affairs. In 1983, Ortelli attended the first meeting of the European Round Table of Industries, an influential interest group comprising, amongst others, high-ranking representatives from the chemical, petrochemical and pharmaceutical industries. The attendees at the meeting Ortelli attended included high-ranking representatives from Shell Petrochemical Company, the Cyber Geiger Chemical Pharmaceutical Company and the ICI Chemical Company. In 1984, directly after his last term in the EU Commission, Ortelli was appointed as chairman of Total, the French petrochemical company. Reithinger, Anton, 1898. Anton Reithinger was head of IG Farben's politico-economic department in Berlin. His department was used to spy for the Nazi government in foreign countries, and its reports were widely used in the Nazi government offices. Anton Reiger was head of IG Farben's economic department in the Berlin offices of NW7. Reithinger's VAWI was used to spy for the Nazi government in foreign countries. The reports made by VAWI were widely used in government offices and therefore presented plenty of room for manipulation. Von Ribbentrop, Joachim, 1893-1946. Joachim von Ribbentrop was German foreign minister between 1938 and 1945. A convicted war criminal, he was hanged in 1946 after the Nuremberg trials. After fighting for Germany in World War I, during which he reached the rank of lieutenant, von Ribbentrop became a sales representative for a French wine and liqueurs company. In 1920, he married Anna Elisabeth Henkel, daughter of Otto Henkel, the wealthy head of the champagne company Henkel & Co. During the 1920s, von Ribbentrop's import-export company was one of the biggest in Germany. Von Ribbentrop met Adolf Hitler in the late 1920s and joined the Nazi Party in 1932, subsequently arranging contacts between the Nazis and other influential individuals. After Hitler gained power, von Ribbentrop became the Nazi Party's advisor on foreign politics. Later, he became Reichsminister Ambassador Plenipotentiary at Large, a post he held between 1935 and 1936. After 2 years as German ambassador in London, he became German Foreign Minister in 1938. Von Ribbentrop was a driving force in the growing anti-British mood of Hitler and the German government. In 1939, he played a key role in negotiating the German-Soviet non-aggression pact. After the successful occupation of France and other West European countries, von Ribbentrop's foreign ministry became responsible for Jews living in these regions. Von Ribbentrop was actively involved in the organized killing of Jews in these regions. and in 1943 he received a present of 1 million Reichmark from Adolf Hitler for this. Von Ribbentrop was arrested in 1945 and at the Nuremberg trials found guilty of crimes against peace, deliberately planning a war of aggression, war crimes and crimes against humanity. He was sentenced to death and hanged in October 1946. Sarkozy, Nicholas, 1955. Nicolas Sarkozy, President of France, the office which he assumed in 2007. Sarkozy studied private and business law at the University of Paris, near Tienne, in France. He subsequently worked as a lawyer specialising in business and family law. One of his clients was Silvio Berlusconi, the Italian Prime Minister and media mogul. Sarkozy's political career started in 1982, when he became mayor of Neuilly-sur-Seine, one of the wealthiest communities in France. He stayed in office until 2002. In 2002, Sarkozy became French Minister for the Interior. While in office, he coerced the marriage between French pharmaceutical dwarf Sanofi and Swiss-German drug giant Aventis Hoist. Between 2004 and 2005, Sarkozy was the French Minister of Finance, after which, from 2005 to 2007, he again served as Minister of the Interior. In 2006, Sarkozy announced his plans to run for President of France. During his divisive election campaign in an effort to scare mainstream France, Sarkozy widely criticised foreigners and immigrants. He even went so far as to call disenfranchised juveniles in Paris suburbs scum, thereby deliberately heating up the political climate and presenting himself as the law and order candidate. Salter, Arno, 1911 to 1987. Arno Salter was a strong advocate of the Nazi Greater Sphere theory. Salter was head of the official Nazi Central Research Institute for National Economic Order and the Greater Sphere Economy. In 1941, Salter authored the influential book The Greater Sphere Cartel, which outlined an economic plan for a Europe under German control. After World War II, Salter worked for the German Bundesverband der Industrie, the BDI, an industrial lobby group. Sutherland, Peter, 1946. Peter Sutherland was a European Commissioner from 1985 to 1989 and has served on the boards of a number of multi-billion dollar multinational corporations, including the BP Petrochemical Company. Sutherland studied law at the University College Dublin. In 1982, he became Attorney General of Ireland. He joined the EU Commission in 1985 as Commissioner for Competition Policy. In 1990, after his term ended, he joined the board of directors of the petrochemical company BP. In 1997, he was appointed as chairman of BP's board of directors. In 1992, while on the board of BP, Sutherland became chairman of a committee that reported to the EU Commission on the functioning of the EU's so-called internal market. In 1995, he became Director General of the World Trade Organization. In 2007, concurrent with his chairmanship of BP, Sutherland became an advisor on energy and climate change issues to EU Commission President Barroso. In addition to serving as chairman of the board of BP, Sutherland is also chairman of Goldman Sachs International. He was previously a non-executive director of the Royal Bank of Scotland and a member of the board of the multinational engineering corporation ABB. Sutherland is a member of the powerful steering committee of the Bilderberg Group. He's also the European chairman of the Rockefeller-financed Trilateral Commission, whose membership comprises elite leaders from the worlds of business, the media, academia, politics and non-governmental organisations from Japan, Europe and North America. Termeer, Fritz, 1884 to 1967. Fritz Termeer was a member of the board of directors of IG Farben and a convicted war criminal. Termeer studied chemistry and law in France and Germany, after which he worked for his father's chemistry company, Dr. E. Termeer and C. In 1925, the company merged into IG Farben. Termeer became a member of the board of directors of IG Farben in 1925 and stayed on the board until 1945. He also was a member of the Working Committee and the Technical Committee of IG Farben. Tamir served as a director of Section 2 in the German Ministry of War. In 1939, he convinced the head of the German Army Weapons Agency to use the IG Farben-produced poison gas, Tabun. In 1941 onwards, Tamir was responsible for the construction and operation of the IG Farben factory at the Auschwitz concentration camp. In 1943, Tamir became general agent for Italy, the Reich's Minister for Armaments and War Production. Tamir was arrested in 1945 and faced trial at the Nuremberg trial against IG Farben, where he was found guilty of war crimes and crimes against humanity through the plundering and spoliation of occupied territories, the seizure of plants, and participation in the enslavement and deportation of slave labour. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison, but was released early in 1950. In 1952, Tamir became chairman of the supervisory board of Bayer. During the Nuremberg trial against the IG Farben cartel, Fritz Tamir's counsel specifically stated that the concept of a total European economic area shaped his client's aims. Verster, Karl, 1900 to 1974. Karl Verster worked for IG Farben and Die Gersh and was amongst those responsible for the poison gas Zyklon B. Verster studied chemistry and began work for BASF in 1924. In 1925, he began working for the Department of Inorganic Chemistry at IG Farben. In 1934, Verster became head of the Inorganic Chemistry Department at IG Farben. Verster also served on the management board of the IG Farben-owned Die Gersh, the manufacturer of Zyklon B, the poison gas used in the gas chambers at Auschwitz. Verster became a member of the board of directors of IG Farben in 1938. In 1952, Verster became executive director of the reformed BASF. End of Chapter 7, The Who's Who of the EU.